The topic for today is freedom redefined. Before we begin, I would like to thank all of you for using your freedom to be with all of us on this rainy Saturday. I know there could be many things you could be doing at home, eating pakodas, eating somewhere outside, being with your friends, relishing some hot drinks. But I really congratulate you for making this choice to be with us. To begin with, we'll start with a small story. Once a scientist decided to make an experiment with a rat. As you know, scientists are quite friendly with the rats. They test many things on the rat. So the scientist made a special cage and put a rat inside the cage. And as you know, then when anyone put inside the cage, they become very panic. So though the cage was special, but rat did not know, because rat is not a scientist. So he became very panic, started running from this corner to that corner, somehow trying to figure out how to get out of the cage. But he couldn't. And the scientist did not give him food for the entire day. So the rat became more sad and more panicky. Again started running through the cage, trying to figure out if there is something to eat or is there some way to get out. And in his efforts, he happened to press a lever. And as soon as he pressed the lever, some food fell down inside the cage, and rat was happy. He just started eating, enjoying, totally forgetting about I'm inside the cage, I have to get out. He ate and became very happy, relaxed for some time. Again, the next day, the scientist did not provide any food. But by now, rat knew that there is one lever which I press, I will get food. So again he started looking, where was the lever, and he found one lever in one corner. And he pressed that lever and water fell down. And he entirely became wet, got so disturbed, so disgusted. What is this, you know, I wanted food. There is one lever which I press, the food comes. Again he started looking for that lever. And he found one lever. And he pressed it and what? Cheese fell down. The favorite of the rat. He ate it, enjoyed. Again after some time, he felt hungry. Again started looking for a lever. Again he pressed one lever and some sand fell down. Again became frustrated. Again started moving. Again he pressed one lever and water again. Again started looking. Again pressed one lever and food came down. So this became a play for the rat. By now he had experienced that there are many levers. Some give food, some give water and some give sand. So what he would do, he would press the lever and run away. And that became a play for him. Press the lever, run away. Food comes down, go eat it. And if water comes, didn't affect me. So like this, 8 or 10 days passed, and then the scientist opened the door of the cage. And guess what? Rat did not go away. The door of the cage remained open, and the rat was busy playing inside the cage. So now I want to ask all of you, what do you think? Is the rat free? Is the rat free? Yes. No. No. The doors of the cage are... He is free, right? He is free. They are saying he is not. So here is the point we come where we need to redefine freedom. Okay? Freedom. What is actually freedom? But before I begin, I want to ask all of you, do we all want freedom? Let's have a quick show of hands. Who wants freedom? or a few who don't want, as you want. So, can you name few freedoms that we want? Few freedoms. What do you want freedom for? What freedom we want? Freedom for education. Freedom to speak. Whatever we want. Like freedom to speak. Okay. Anything else?
Sorry?
Right. Oh, very good. Freedom to leadership. Okay, very good. Freedom to marry whomever you want. Yes? Be honest now. Everyone wants that, right? No one will like to be forced to marry someone whom you don't like, right? Anything else? Freedom to eat? Or you like whatever is on the plate, eat it. No?
Sorry?
Oh, birth, death, old age and disease. Very good. Anything you need freedom for? For peaceful. Very good. So, freedom is the most doubted word in the world today. And the media presence, do you always see people speaking about freedom, being free, right? The media uses this word usually for our exploitation. There is a very nice example which explains this. In 1930s, the cigarette smoking industry in United States had reached saturation. Saturation means those who could smoke were already smoking and they did not have any more market to sell their product. So they were really thinking hard, how do we expand our business? And one of them got a brainwave, got a fantastic idea. And he said, the 50% population is not yet exploited. How? Women are not smoking. He said, so we should target women. So in 1939, I guess, mostly, they had a very big plan. On the Independence Day period, on that day, they have a parade, Independence Day parade. Like from 2 months from now, we are having our India's Independence Day, and the 15th of August, like that, United States has their Independence Day on 4th of July. And on the Independence Day march, that parade, what these people did was, on the strategic points in the parade, they had popular female icons flip out cigarette from their pockets and start smoking. They had made special cigarettes for females, slim cigarettes, and they portrayed those cigarettes as torches for freedom. And the mentality of ladies at that time, and mostly always, is that we are being exploited. We are being exploited. Huh? Ladies always feel like that, right? So even that time also ladies were feeling like that. We have been exploited. We are being exploited. And the society is telling us not to smoke. Then by smoking, we will light the torches of freedom. We will be free. And that's how very rapidly women took up to smoking. And within 25 years, you won't believe, the number of female smokers became equal to number of male smokers. And then slowly the ill effects of smoking became known. The ill effects of smoking on pregnancy, the capacity to become pregnant, the secretion of milk after pregnancy, and many other ill health effects on female bodies especially became known, and the percentage again became low. So this is an extreme example. I believe all of us will not use our freedom to go for such choices. But the freedom what we discussed just now, The freedoms in themselves are not bad. Right? Is it bad to want the freedom to lead people or to earn money, to buy the cell phones what you want, to choose the husband what you want, to choose the friends what you want, okay, to eat what you want? So these freedoms in themselves are not bad. But there is a problem. Have you ever experienced practicing freedom and getting into trouble? Let's discuss few examples. Suppose we take the freedom to eat. Freedom to eat has two aspects. First is the quantity that you want to eat, and second the quality of the food that you want to eat. There is a very vivid example of Egyptian pharaohs. Have you heard about them? They were the people so fond of eating, as if the goal for them was to eat. They had their special cooks cook sumptuous feasts, and they would eat them several times a day. But how much can this small belly hold, right? How much can you eat? So what they would do, they would take some purgatives, some vomiting pills, and they would vomit. They would eat, then they would vomit. And they had a special golden bowls to vomit, special golden bowls to eat, and special golden bowls to vomit. Okay? But that was becoming a problem. So they had their physicians develop special pills for what? Painless vomiting. So they would eat, painlessly vomit, and then eat again, enjoy the food. But again, this couldn't go for long, and all of them started developing physical problems, many diseases, and then they had to stop. So much to come to this conclusion that we have to stop somewhere, you know. We can't just go on eating the quantity. This is again extreme example. Let's take our example. I believe young people don't believe in eating too much, but they believe in eating what they want to eat. I better speak with all of your mothers, what all of you prefer on your plate every day. Okay? Sabji, roti, dal, rice. Yes? Or jam rolls, achar, chapati, burgers. Usually, when we are young, we always like to eat such foods, fancy foods, fast foods, what we call. Definitely will not like to call it junk, though it is. Fast food, tasty foods. But when we are young, we don't realize what our body is demanding, the nutrition that it is demanding. When we are young, our energy level is very high. So we can go on, even with the compromised diet, about the low quality of food that we are eating. But when we grow, and the time comes for us to take up responsibilities, serious responsibilities in life, yes, in job, in family, then all our habits will fire back. This freedom that we are using right now to eat what we like will fire back. Okay, taking another example of choosing our own friends or being with whomever we like. Needless to say, young people, to be with people of opposite gender, having boyfriends or having friends as boys. I know in many cultured families, this is a hot topic for argument. Who you stay with whole day? Where are you spending your time? Why so late? Where were you? What were you doing? You know, so much so that I know rich communities, they employ detective agencies to keep watch on their free children, so-called free children. Why? See, choosing friends, spending time is not wrong. But we know when it is done in an uncontrolled environment, I don't need to speak the disadvantages that the girls face, like unwanted pregnancies, abortions, diseases and so much of emotional torture that they go through after that. Take example of freedom to wear clothes that we want to wear. Very sensitive topic for girls. For not only girls, for ladies, clothes are so dear to them. But I was just before this very ill-famous Delhi rape case, there was again another rape case which happened in Pune. One corporate girl working in a very famous company, IT company in Pune, was raped again by a driver of the company drop. Of course, she did not die, but it was a very unfortunate thing that happened to her. And then there were series of articles that came in newspapers, and I was following up with them. Not the articles which the film stars write, not that. They just write to become popular. They don't have anything to do with the incident, why it has happened. I was following up with few articles of the psychologist, and therein one psychologist says that this such increase in crime is attributed to increasing exposure through the clothes that girls wear. Not only the girls wear, but the agitation which is created in the general society when they see the such things in movies, in the songs, what they call as item songs or such things. So that agitates, and then it increases the crime. So what we are saying is, there is nothing wrong in wearing clothes that we want to wear, if we use some discrimination, if we use our intelligence. So these freedoms are not bad, but there is some problem. Can you guess what can be the problem? The problem is that whenever we think of freedom, we always think of freedom for. I want freedom for this. I want freedom for this. I want freedom for doing that. Or I want freedom to. Either freedom for and or freedom to. Freedom to do this. Freedom to go here. Freedom to watch that. Freedom to surf on net whenever I want. Freedom to do that, this, that. Many things. But we never stop and think that unless we have freedom from, this freedom for will put us in trouble. What is that freedom from? What is the freedom from? Freedom from our lower urges, lower passions, selfish desires, okay, uncontrolled senses. If we are not free from that, like suppose you take, we saw the example of freedom to eat. There is nothing wrong in having freedom to eat if we are free from the greed, like those Egyptian proverbs. If they were free from the greed to eat, there was nothing wrong. They had the facility to afford the cook, ingredients and everything. They could just eat, right? If they are just free from the greed. There is no harm in wearing clothes or being with people whom you want. But if you are just free from lust, you will not get into any problem, right? So, we don't just want to go for freedom for, but we actually want to go freedom from. And how do we get that freedom from? How do we get freedom for or freedom to? If we want some freedom for doing something, we usually tend to reject the restrictions put on that thing, right? Any restrictions. Reject the restriction, that means you are free. So similarly, when we want freedom from something, we accept some restrictions. Okay? Restrictions and freedom. I know I am seeing some question mark on the faces because they seem to be opposite to each other. Right? Freedom and restriction. How can? If there are restrictions, that means you are not free. So restrictions are opposite to freedom. That's why people are very fanatic about freedom in this world. If I want to be free, You know, I want to do whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do, wherever I want to do, however I want to do. And that means I am free. And anyone who tells me not to do this, that means they are taking away my freedom. This is the reason why people don't want to follow any tradition, any culture, and especially any religion. Because they feel there are many restrictions and that will take away my freedom. And freedom is opposed to, restriction is opposed to freedom. Is it, we are going to see how, whether restriction is actually opposed to freedom. With a few examples. Suppose there is a man walking on a terrace of a 50 feet building whose parapet wall is not constructed. And he is just walking towards the edge. And you go and stop him. Stop! Don't walk! Don't move ahead! He says, no, why are you stopping me? I'm free to walk wherever I want. Okay, walk, fall down, break your bones, and then lose the freedom to walk. Right? Don't accept. Walk. Similarly, suppose a person is sick with some digestive problem, and the doctor tells him, no eating solid foods. You can eat semi-solids and liquids. Why are you stopping me? I will eat whatever I want to eat. I don't want any restrictions. I'm free to eat whatever I want to eat. Okay. Go ahead, eat. Then be on liquids. Solid food will be cut off. Lose the freedom to eat liquids or be on saline. Lose the freedom to eat at all, not even liquids. Or suppose a man is drinking poison. Is that a man? Okay. Suppose a girl is drinking a poison. And you go and say, hey, don't drink. No, why are you stopping me? You can drink. Why are you stopping me? I'm free to drink whatever I want to drink. Okay, then you drink and then lose the freedom for life itself, which is the greatest loss of freedom. So from the simple examples, we understand that restrictions are actually not opposite to freedom. Yes? All restrictions may not be good, but there are restrictions which are mentioned in scriptures, which are well intended, and which are the prerequisites for freedom. So, restriction and freedom go hand in hand. So, if we want freedom, we have to follow some restrictions. But what is the freedom? Again, we have not yet come to the point. What is the freedom that we all are looking for? Now we discussed, we want freedom from the lower passions, urges, desires. But still, I want you to think. You need not answer, but I want all of you to think. What is that one thing that everyone is wanting freedom from? Should I tell you? Suffering. Yes, freedom from suffering. No one wants to suffer. Even animals. What to speak of human beings? Human beings can do much more to avoid their sufferings or to eliminate the sufferings. And what is the greatest suffering? What is the cause of the suffering? Sorry?
Freedom.
Cause of suffering is freedom. Oh, Jai. Sorry?
Desire
for more is the cause of suffering. Very nice. Yes. So, let's hear a story before going into any philosophical this. There was a village and all the people in the village were having some health problem. Everyone. Most of them were having problems with their digestion. Many were having diarrhea, many were having nausea, vomiting, few were having skin rashes. All of them were suffering. They were going to the medical shop, getting medicines, feeling better for some time. But again, the diseases were not getting cured from the root. So then they went to the doctor. And then they told the doctor that all of us are having this problem. Can you help us? You know. Doctor was very intelligent. They are supposed to be intelligent. So he said, from where do you drink the water? He said, this well. We have one well in our village. So that's the main source of water for our village. So doctor went to the well, took some water, and he tested it. And then he found out that water is heavily infested with bacteria. He said, so he told, just do one thing, boil the water and use. Okay. And then they started doing that, and all the problems vanquished. So now from this story, what do we understand? What is the root cause of all the suffering? Water. No, not water. But the ignorance of the cause of the problem. The ignorance. They were not knowing what is causing the problem. The ignorance, the scriptures tell us that ignorance is the cause of all the suffering. Do you know what is the greatest ignorance? What is the greatest ignorance? Anyone giving competitive exams here? GK. What is the greatest ignorance? Ignorance is opposed to knowledge, right? So, anyone expert in knowledge? General knowledge. Can you tell me when do they call you ignorant? What is that if you don't know, which will make you ignorant? If you don't know the President of India, President of United States. Intelligence. What is the greatest ignorance? Attention. Any guesses? We are smart. Okay, you are quite close. The greatest ignorance is that we don't know what we are or who we are. Okay. Just sitting here, I just remembered a joke. I'll just try to tell you if I'm right. I heard this long back. Once Prime Minister of India, I don't want to take any names. So just Prime Minister of India visited a mental hospital. Everyone started laughing. So there was a mad person, mental hospital. Everyone was mad, but there was one particular mad person who looked at the president, the Prime Minister, and said, "Oh, lucha lafanga, lucha lafanga." He said, I always thought only mad people come to mental hospital, but lucha lafangas also come here. Oh, lucha lafanga, lucha lafanga. And this Prime Minister felt very offended, you know. He said, why are you speaking like this, you know? Don't you know who am I? He said, who are you? He said, I am the Prime Minister of India. Then he started laughing even more. He said, when I came to the hospital, I was saying the same thing. I am the Prime Minister of India. So that is the greatest ignorance. We don't know who we are. We may think, I am this, I am so and so. And if we read a few books more, they say, your mind or your brain. But we never say, I mind, I brain. Do we ever say, I hand, I body? We always say, my body, my hand, my brain, my mind. So who is that I? That I is the spirit soul within our body. The spirit soul who is full of Satchidananda, knowledge, eternity and bliss. But right now this soul is covered with some covering. The subtle covering of mind, intelligence and ego, and the gross covering of this body, this flesh, bones. This is very nicely explained in Upanishads with the example of chariot. The body is considered, is compared to a chariot. The soul you see, a passenger you see, the soul is compared to the passenger. The intelligence is the charioteer. The reins which are there in intelligence hand, you see, is the mind. And the horses are the senses. You see, eyes, nose, tongue, skin. Can you see that? All of you can see? You all can see? So, now who? This soul is suffering because the horses are not in control, because the intelligence is not able to control the horses, because the mind is not controlled. Right now our mind is in diseased condition, because the uncontrolled condition of the mind is the diseased condition of mind. So the mind has to be controlled. Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, the mind, let's read the translation verbatim. For him who has conquered the mind is the best of friends. But for one who has failed to do so, his mind will remain the greatest enemy. Our mind makes us crazy, you know, makes us go crazy many a times, most of the times. So, how do we control the mind? One more story for the mind. All of you have seen Aladdin cartoons, yes, in our childhood. We still like to see, like to read the stories of Aladdin. What is the most attractive part in Aladdin is the genie who, just rub this and comes, the genie comes. And the genie does everything that you want. So there was one man, just like all of us, who had read about Aladdin and was desiring, you know, that I get some, you know, some genie to help me. So he prayed to God. And surprisingly, God agreed and God gave him a genie. God said, there is a condition that the genie will do whatever you want him to do. Whatever, you know, everything is possible. But if he is not engaged, if he is not busy, then he will eat you. He cannot remain idle. He has to have some engagement. Man said, okay, there are so many things, you know, to do. No problem. This is not a problem. So he took the genie and he started, do this, do that, you know. Complete this file, enter the data and do that. And the whole family joined, you know, even the wife, you know, clean the this and clean that, arrange the clothes. And even children, complete my journal and you do this, that. And genie was like, and soon all their work got exhausted. And genie, mere aka, can I eat you? And this man was like, no, wait. No. And he just thought for a while. Intelligent man. Thought of having a genie, so has to be intelligent, right? So he said, he told the genie, get one ladder. So genie got the ladder. He said, now you do one thing. climb the ladder. As soon as you reach up, get down. As soon as you reach down, climb up. As soon as you reach up, again climb down. And as soon as you climb down, climb up. And keep doing this. And whenever I need you, I'll call you. The genie really became busy. And climb up, and climb up, and climb up, and climb down, and climb up, and climb down. So, same is the case with mind. If the mind is not engaged properly, it just devours us by making us do what it wants us to do. So, right now, our mind is diseased. Right? Uncontrolled mind, the diseased mind. So, what do we do when our body is diseased? Our body needs two things. To put it in simple words. One is nourishment and second thing is exercise. If you just eat and don't use your body to do right exercises or right things, then again you will not achieve perfect health. So what is the food? What is the nourishment for the body? Healthy food. And the exercise is the physical exercise. So similarly, what is the nourishment for healthy mind, for making our mind healthy? It's engagement, engagement under the guidance of purified intelligence, and the exercise is meditation. We'll have to have some explanation for engagement under the guidance of purified intelligence. We saw how intelligence is the charioteer. Intelligence actually is supposed to guide the mind, control the mind. But mind by its nature is very strong. Always. Always. So it has to have some guidance. So intelligence becomes strong. The nourishment for the intelligence and the strength comes from scriptures, studying scriptures, the shastras. Shastras are actually compared to the manuals, user manuals. If you get something, some machine, some cell phone, suppose, very close example, then you get a manual, how to use the parts of the this, what are the functions, what you should not do, what you should do to take care. So similarly, scriptures are our nourishment for our intelligence. And intelligence gets sharpened and gets strength to guide the mind and keep it under control. And the exercise for the mind is meditation. Meditation or yoga. And what is the best yoga? I know you, all of you know. The best yoga is chanting the holy names. It is called as mantra meditation. Okay, mantra. Mana trayate iti mantra. Trayate means delivers. That which delivers the mind, which controls the mind, which gets the mind on the right track. And this Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. What is it called as? Mahamantra. Maha means great. It is the great mantra. It is the most powerful mantra. So chanting Hare Krishna mantra is the best way to keep our mind under control. It is the best exercise for our mind. Do we have time? We do have some time. Okay. Before we take any questions, since we have some time, we would like to see a very interesting video. About the mind. All of you must have seen, but since it is related to the topic, and it will make things more relevant. So, start.
This pantomime show is a depiction of the daily life of you and me. Please watch it carefully as you will discover your private moments unfold now. This is me, and this is my mind.
My mind is very strong. When I'm sleeping, it's always dancing.
enjoyed it? Is it our own story? Yes? So, we invite all of you to join us in this process of chanting. We have, to train our intelligence, we have many books written by our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada, which will sharpen our intelligence to guide our mind in the process of chanting Hare Krishna. So I request all of you to please do visit the gift shop and get the books and practice this very powerful process of chanting. Chanting will not only control our mind, but it will actually free us from this ignorance of our identity and establish us in our real identity as the spirit souls, the part and parcel of Krishna. So please come join us and let us all be free. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions, no questions, there is no time for questions, so we can meet personally if anyone has any questions. I'm available here for whatever time you want. Thank you. Any announcements? Hello. Okay.